San Diego 1700. From the people who bring you Double X 1090. Sports Radio and 105.7 FM, The Walrus, San Diego's Greatest Hits, which if you haven't discovered that yet, you need to check that out. I talked to some people about the whole broadcast company of the America's Family last night at the event in Fairbanks Ranch. With Here comes the squeaky guy again. I tell you, he waited till I started talking again. Now he's dumping China in the China receptacle. Quiet on the set. Thank you. We're doing radio surgery here. Anyway, we're up in Fairbanks Ranch last night doing this event for the governor's Prop 11 campaign. That's the redistricting campaign, which has bipartisan support. And people were asking, they said, hey, I hear you guys are moving to new studios. I said, yeah, we're busy doing that with the main studios for all of our stations, 1090 and 105.7 FM and 1700. And many people said, hey, that 105.7, that's the Walrus, right? And they're very aware of the new format, which also includes Padres baseball. When the games are on, as you know, you hear them on 1090 and on 105.7 FM. That man's now throwing things across the hall. And you get San Diego's Greatest Hits. If you have not discovered that yet, you need to put that on. It is like a soundtrack for San Diego summer. It is just terrific. So check that out, San Diego 1700. Was that you or him doing that, Mike? Was that you? It was Mike McGregor moving the equipment. Thank you so much. I thought you went to the euphemism. At any rate, all the drama, all the excitement, and Daniel Silva will join us in just a moment, although I understand we're having some adventures getting him connected on the phone. He's the author of the new book, Moscow Rules. I got to tell you, speaking of shameless promotion, you need to go get that book because it's fiction. However, it is fiction based in fact. He's done all the research. I'm figuring next time he wants to go over to Russia that they're probably not going to let him have the visa. But it reveals what's going on. This book reveals what's going on behind the scenes in Russia, what's happening with the dark side in terms of the Russian mob and the billionaires who have a whole lot of money. We had a story earlier this week about the most expensive home in the world that was sold here just the other day, $750 million on the French Riviera, sold to a Russian billionaire with a B, and apparently the Russians have been buying up a whole lot of these spots on the French Riviera. And as Daniel Silva points out in his best-selling book, Moscow Rules, you have a lot of this going on in the ski resorts and all over Europe. So you have the infiltration of some of the Russian money. Now you say, what's wrong with that? Well, nothing if people are behaving and if they're good people. You got a lot of bad people with a lot of money moving in and spreading a lot of under-the-table, under-wherever, crime and influence, and they have more money than ever. That's what's different now compared to the old days of the Soviet Union. The old Soviet Union didn't have the money that they have now. They don't have as many people as they had. They've had a real problem with the birth rate going the wrong way in Russia, but they're getting back to their old tendencies here, like moving into Georgia this week over there for one of their former republics, as you know, following that story. And the difference now is there's a whole lot of oil money, and they can have more influence in strange and mysterious ways. Plus, they have cyber warfare available. The scary part about that is they've been doing this in rehearsal mode. They did this last year over in Estonia because the Estonians were busy trying to tear down. All they wanted to do was tear down this monument. They had it in a park. I actually saw it when we were there a couple of years ago, and they're going to tear down this statue last year. And the Russians were so offended that the locals wanted to tear down the monument to the Soviet occupation that then the Russians went ahead and tried to mess with the whole way of doing things in Estonia. Estonia, as a breakaway republic like Georgia, is a place where they have a huge explosion in internet ability, very, very high tech. So the Russians, and they trace this all the way back to just right near Putin's office, the Russians used cyber warfare to mess things up on the internet in Estonia. And now, allegedly, they're doing the same thing in Georgia. So it's like the old days, only more high-tech, and there's more money than they had last time around in Russia. Time to worry? Sure. Time to follow the news? Of course. Time to read, if you're going to read any fiction, read a book like Moscow Rules by Daniel Silva. His last book was The Secret Servant. That's when we talked to him last year on the show, and he's back on the news line. here on San Diego 1700. Welcome back.
Good morning. How are you?
I am chilled out of my wits looking at I'm reading this book with all the news unfolding this week, and I'm saying, I feel like I know too much. They'll have to kill me.
Well, it was interesting that, I wrote, on the day of publication, I wrote a piece. I published a piece in the Huffington Post that predicted that something like this was going to happen, and that the next president of the United States was going to be dealing with Russia in ways that that we hadn't for some time. But even I was surprised by the speed of the developments in Georgia.
So is what's going on here, what's up, what we think it is, this is a way not just to say, oh, this will be fun, let's see if this works. This is either if not a dress rehearsal, it's the way they're going to do things. Now, there's one report out today that they're eyeing Ukraine. That's really bad news if they try to play this kind of thing. Some people have said, gee, this reminds me of Hitler and the Sudetenland back in the old days.
Isn't it? I mean, it's very, there are actually some historical parallels. And look, I do believe that this is sort of a coming out party for the new Russia. I do believe that we will look back in a 5 years time and say that this was the week that the post Cold War period came to an end and something like a new Cold War began. There were a number of reasons why this happened, and a number of motivations behind Russia's actions, but I think the primary one was for them to throw down a marker and say this has gone on long enough. You have pushed too close to our borders. We are powerful again. We are rich again, and you can't do anything to stop us.
Yeah, and more rich than before, and now having the cyber attack ability too, because they've been using that wherever they can. So it's a whole different regime.
They've done it to the Estonians before, and they did it to the Georgians in the hours and days preceding the attack. Pretty chilly.
As you point out in the book, and we're talking with Daniel Silva, the author of the bestseller Moscow Rules, and not just any bestseller, now 2 weeks running, number one on the New York Times bestseller list. And
how
as I mentioned
that?
Before, that's not bad. I think you can actually make money on this deal now. There may be something in it for you, maybe a movie. If you play this right, talk to our people. We'll work this out.
Thank you.
Giving you suggestions wherever we can.
Thank you.
But it is, you're confirming what many people who have traveled in Russia suspected. And I think I mentioned last time we had it on the air, I was over there 2 years ago with my wife. We were in St. Petersburg, and then my daughter and I took a little side trip to Moscow. And I remember being struck by so much of what you write about, where you drive by and they say, here's where the KGB used to be. And you say, well, what's there now? Well, it's a new organization. It's basically the same thing, different costumes, different name.
Imagine that in Germany, that the Gestapo and the SS were still responsible for state security, and they just sort of changed their name, but they still work from exactly the same offices. That is the situation in Russia today. And, the FSB is a horribly corrupt security service. It likes to bill itself as a modern security service, internal security service along the lines of those in Western Europe. It is not. It is riddled with corruption and criminality and violence and murder for hire gangs but there it sits in Lubyanka Square in that same building. And it's funny that a lot of Russians don't even bother to call it the FSB. They simply refer to it as KGB.
Yeah.
But I actually got to go inside the building when I was in Russia and got a private tour of the place.
Well, that's the point. And when people say, gee, Mark, you don't normally read a lot of fiction, and I don't, but I don't miss your books, Daniel Silva, because it's so well-researched. They all are. And it really takes you inside the headlines. I'm also wondering, are you going to get a visa if you want to go back? I mean, it's like you've revealed too much.
Because I'm very hard on the Russian government, obviously, and it's funny when the book came out on July 22nd, they're popped up on all these Russian blogs, you know, that I'm very suspicious about the origins of these blogs, these very critical comments about the book and how I don't understand Russia.
Came from Medvedev's office.
Then, oh, by the way, you know, Putin invades Georgia. But I would love to go back. And I was just enthralled by Moscow. I have the place under my skin, but, you know, I won't know until I walk up the street to the Russian embassy. It's just located up the hill from my home in Washington, and plunk down my passport and $150 and ask for a visa. Mm.
But you know, Daniel, that when it comes to how they operate, and you have a very chilling scene in one of the opening moments of the book here where one of the characters is he's basically, it looks like he's praying, and somebody's come up and hit him with some poison, and suddenly the guy's dead. I mean, these people, the bad guys, work in strange and mysterious ways. That Litvinenko case, chilling example of that. They're not real friendly to journalists who tell the truth. So,
no,
I mean, in all seriousness, do you worry about your wife? Jamie Gangel is a very high-profile television correspondent as well. It's like, hey, they can figure out where you are. Doesn't that bother you?
They're more concerned, obviously, about Russians who betray Russia and not
until you're a New York Times best-selling author for multiple weeks, and then they may think, hey, this is getting too much notoriety.
You know what? You've convinced me. I'm going
to
go.
I hate to make you all paranoid, but
underground bunker and drink only purified rainwater. That's it. I'm sorry, I can't. I have three appearances left in Southern California,
including one in La Jolla tomorrow, which we'll talk about. No, you'll be there for that. But you know, you've got a case. You have a journalist part of the story here in Moscow Rules,
and a couple of journalists.
Yeah, and again, it's the type of thing that as you read this, you go, "This isn't just made up stuff. You didn't just pull this out of your mind, and that's it. This is based on what has been going on there, what continues to go on there." And I think it's very instructive for anybody who reads it. It's just a great read in the tradition of any kind of thriller. But it really is moving and chilling, and makes you think, man. Does this just become the new norm? This is the new that's going to be the way it is? Does it get worse?
I believe it is the new. Yeah. I mean, they have Putin systematically, turned back the hands of time in Russia, and it is once more an authoritarian, state-controlled. I mean, important segments of the economy are really controlled by the state or men close to the state, and there's no free press. There's no real opposition. They've even revived the use of sending dissidents to psychiatric hospitals for special treatment. I mean, that's right out of the Soviet playbook.
Yeah, special treatment at the happy camp.
It is chilling. I think that in another, it's not communism, obviously. That's dead and buried. But I think in another time and place, we would have called what's going on in Russia fascism.
Is part of the problem
with that term?
Yeah, it's part of the problem, Daniel, that the locals liked some of the things under communism. They realized democracy takes hard work, or even just a form of democracy, and some of them are just saying, hey, whatever, we've got capitalism thriving in some areas. It seems like things look better. It's exciting. A lot of people are making money. We have oil money, a lot of other resources, so we'll just look the other way.
I don't think it's that they'll look the other way.
Are they enabling it?
Genuine distrust and dislike for Western-style democracy in Russia. You know, I think we made a mistake thinking that out of the ashes of the Soviet Union there would arise a normal country, a Westernized country. Russia is a very different place. It was untouched by the Enlightenment. It's not European. It's not Asian. It's distinctly Russian, and the people just there's no real yearning except for a small cadre of activists for democracy in Russia right now. And I think that's fair to say. I think that these approval rating numbers that we see all the time are probably inflated due to the fact that all the newspapers and televisions are controlled by the state or by men loyal to the state. But I do think it's fair to say that were Putin to stand in a square up, free and fair election, that he would win easily.
Well, he's also clearly in charge. One of the things we've learned through all the last few days here is that Medvedev, the number one, his fill-in guy was nowhere to be found till about yesterday. So that tells us who's really handling things, right?
Yeah, and I wouldn't be surprised to see some more moves on the domestic front that grant him some special emergency powers and things like that. We'll see. We'll keep an eye on that. But, you know, clearly, I also don't think that they're finished in Georgia yet. There's some reports this morning that tanks were rolling, that they were back in Gori, and that there was a column of tanks that were heading towards Tbilisi for a brief time. Maybe it was just a feint. Maybe it was just kind of an in-your-face kind of thing. But I don't think we're done yet.
A lot of tests and tests for President Bush. He's in lame duck mode, and he can warn Russia all he likes. But when Putin comes out and says, listen, I'm not going to take any lessons, lectures from George W. Bush about moving into other countries, because we've kind of seen how that works. So that's part of the challenge,
isn't
it?
Yeah, but maybe I missed something, but I didn't see Vladimir Putin going to the UN and getting a Security Council resolution before he went into Georgia. Did I miss that?
For several years. Good point.
I'm sorry.
Excellent. That's why you're the journalist you are.
I didn't see that.
Well, Daniel Silva, who will be explaining all this firsthand, you can meet him, you can get the book signed. It's Moscow Rules, the number one book in America, 2 weeks running, according to the New York Times bestseller list, which is the granddaddy of them all. Tomorrow night, 7:30, that is Thursday night, as you're hearing this, if you're on the podcast or what have you, just Thursday night on the 14th of August at Warwick's in La Jolla, 7:30, and you'll stay there till the cows come home or the Soviet agents show up in new costumes. Right?
That's right.
All right, Daniel, good luck on the book. You need a great book, and another, this has got to be your best yet.
Thank you so much.
Keep it up. Hope
Take
you care. Get your visa. Thanks.
Okay.